This is Mae Brussel. It's broadcast number 685. This is KAZU-FM in Pacific Grove, California, January the 21st, 1985. I like to date and number these broadcasts for a particular reason. It's good on your cassettes, of course, to have it. I was looking up last week my broadcast on August the 12th, 1980. I was referring to the Turner Diaries that were written by Mr. Pierce, the Nazi that moved, as I say, from the Air Force United Technology to Washington, D.C. to take over the Nazi Party after George Lincoln Rockwell was murdered. And he worked with Mr. Kohl, K-O-E-H-L, who was in the Bay Area working with the Nazis in the Bay Area. And the Nazi threats came out in California to kill Dr. Marcus Foster. And by looking back to the sheets, it was 5 years ago, 4.5 years ago, that I was talking about something on these broadcasts that just made the New York Times and the Los Angeles papers of the intent to kill every Jew in America and every Black and every Asian and every red-skinned person and to start hanging them by ropes in Los Angeles as a starter point. Now, getting back to the Mies hearings, just one quick reference, and as I say, I'll go into this again in detail later. There was a committee hearing, a subcommittee on constitutional rights, put in, the Committee on the Judiciary, United States Senate, November 1974, that's 11 years ago, headed by Sam Ervin of Watergate fame, Individual Rights and the Federal Role in Behavior Modification. And I just want to read you the quotation from that page, on page 358, a plea by Dr. Earl Bryan for assistance in getting money for the UCLA school, which was questioned because electrode implant, psychosurgery, lobotomizing, and so forth, and the federal government was going to hold up the money. November 8, 1973, California Health and Welfare Secretary Earl Bryan today said that the barbaric slaying of 9 people in Victor, California, last Wednesday underscores the immediate need to have positive action to protect our citizens against violent crime. In just 4 years in California, we had 62 mass murder victims, individuals brutally slain by sick individuals. Murders seem to become a way of life, taking the lives of persons from all walks of life, such as the killing of Oakland school superintendent Marcus Foster, Bryan said last Tuesday. He urged last January, when Governor Reagan proposed the formation of the Center for the Study of Reduction of Violence and under the sponsorship of Health, Education, and Welfare, he urged that they hurry up with that money. He said this is another example of callous disregard for public safety that the money didn't come through. The bill was in limbo in a committee. Since these few legislators have tied our hands on initiating the Center for the Study and Reduction of Violence and pigeonholed legislation, these people have died. And he referred, as I say, to Dr. Marcus Foster. He said, we urgently need these programs. And as I wrote in my article, the SLA is a CIA, which I will read many of the parts on the air to you because I think you should hear it. It was about the right-wing groups, the American Nazi Party, the Klan, the Minutemen that came into the state. It was the threat and warning that the Nazis would kill Dr. Marcus Foster in a few weeks, and they did. The people held for the murder were Joseph Romero, he's still in jail, and Russell Little. Incidentally, Russell Little got angry when I wrote for the Berkeley Barb, and I put this in my article, the SLA is the CIA. I wrote that Donald DeFries was the first Black Lee Harvey Oswald, and he wrote a letter to the paper saying, that dizzy bitch can kiss my ass. That pompous bitch has the nerve to call Jonathan Jackson a patsy. I hope she drops dead tomorrow. I saw Russell Little at his trial, and he got off. It wasn't a trial. It was a farce out here in Salinas. They had a retrial, but Romero is still in. So the excuse for the UCLA, one of the arguments was such senseless killing as Dr. Marcus Foster that turned out to be a well-thought-out plan. Now, I'm going to refer to just a few pages that I've outlined for you on the hearings. The U.S. Court of Appeals filed September 1984 for the purpose of appointing independent counsel for on Edwin Meese III. Whether or not they had to investigate his background, is he fit to be the Attorney General? And the part I'm going to share with you has to do with the stock trading of the Meese family and the suggestion, just the suggestion, that Dr. Earl Bryan be on an important presidential appointment with a science foundation that Ronald Reagan wanted him on, that he would be promoted from the UCLA school, from the California violences, from the health, education, and welfare, from the lobotomies, the castrations. And what went on in here, he was nominated when Reagan became president to be on the national board. Now, I'm going to read you the quotes, and then I'm going to intersperse my thoughts and take the quotes off, because these are the pages from the Jacob Stein hearings, and I'll start and in my own inimitable way interrupt for opinions and get back to the direct quote. Quote, at the suggestion of Edwin Thomas, Mrs. Ursula Meese borrowed $15,000 from Mr. Thomas in January of 1981. Now, Mr. Thomas, I'm interposing here, had given $100,000 and another $50,000 to Mr. Earl Bryan, Dr. Earl Bryan. But at this point, Edwin Meese and his wife Ursula are going to borrow from their friend Edwin Thomas, who will soon get an appointment by Reagan out in California, to add another $15,000. They don't explain why. The timing is important. They moved from California. They had three or four children college age. Well, one's at West Point. That's taken care of. We pay for that one. Mr. Allen, Richard Allen, was forced to leave the National Security Council because of money he took from Japan, Japanese people. The same days exactly that Richard Allen was being paid, Mr. Thomas was telling Mrs. Meese to cough up $15,000 to borrow from him to give to particularly to Mr. Bryan. It was no time to invest for the children. They didn't have one home sold in California. They were financially strapped. So there was a transition here of money that is a payoff of some kind that had nothing at all to do with what the Meeses had to invest in. In fact, she has private stock of her own. Here's another quote from the hearings. She used the proceeds to purchase 2,000 shares of Biotech Capital Corporation for two of the children. In the spring of 81, at the suggestion of Mr. Thomas, she purchased more American Cytogenetics Company. Genetics is one of the things that Sam Irvin was complaining about, the genetic experiments in California, whatever American Cytogenetics is. Now, at this point, besides her buying into biotech and American Cytogenetics, Caspar Weinberg, as I say, is Secretary of Defense. He has moved east, and Reagan and Meese and Dr. Bryan all worked together. When Weinberg was national head of health, education, and welfare, Bryan was the California head of health, education, and welfare that caused all the brouhaha of stopping medical experiments and mind control experiments at national and state levels throughout the entire United States. Now, the report goes on. Allegations have been made that because of Mr. Thomas's close friendship with Dr. Earl Bryan, the chief executive of biotech, and Dr. Bryan's relationship with Edwin Meese, our future attorney general, the Meeses may have engaged in insider training, trading that they were going to investigate to see whether she could make any money on this company that she is buying. Now, the gist of the investigation and clearing the Meeses has to do with the fact that they can't prove that there was any insider training, even though Bryan was very close with the Thomases, and Bryan is very close with the Meeses, all three of them from California. It doesn't matter the profits, whether they gained or lost. The money that she passed on is the question, and just as Richard Allen's money came from him, the question is, what was it for? They didn't need it, and why do they keep the cash around? And that is the real problem. Now, the report goes on. During the spring of 1982, the White House senior staff approved the nomination of Dr. Earl Bryan for a position on the National Science Board, the staff of the White House. He withdrew his name before he was nominated by the President of the United States. Now, the report says he was nominated by the presidential staff, and he withdrew it. But the point of this broadcast, of this time slot, he withdrew it when the FBI began to investigate him. He withdrew the nomination. Reagan was pushing it, or Meese was pushing it. We don't see Reagan's name on any of this. Helene von Dahm was pushing it. and Mr. E. Pendleton James, the office, wanted him on the National Science Board. Now, it may not be an important board. You don't make a lot of money, but you have an excuse to travel around the states. It's like the sovereign military to Malta. You be traveling spies. You get recognition for your corporation because you have this prestigious appointment, and you are nominated by the president, and you have to be cleared by the FBI and the security clearances, so it must have some top secret job. It's not just that I want you on this science group. The investigation of Mr. Stein said we wanted to determine what role Meeks played in the nomination. Now, the important point is not what Meeks played, but why Dr. Bryan backed out after Meeks forced his name on it, and what did they have on Dr. Bryan? There's certainly enough in the Senate subcommittee report on the mind control and UCLA and Ronald Reagan and Caspar Weinberger to remove all of them from office, I believe, but that's not going to happen. On page 237, it says, Dr. Bryan's nomination to the National Science Board came from the Office of Presidential Personnel Files. It indicated his resume was put into a White House computer in April of 81. It was submitted by the transition team, and Mr. Edwin Thomas, not a doctor, initiated the request for a meeting between Dr. Bryan and high-level individuals. Thomas has a lot of bucks because, as I say, he gave $100,000, then another $50,000 to Mr. Bryan. The report goes on, before Mr. Thomas left the White House to become regional administrator of General Services Administration, appointment by Reagan and Meese, Mr. Meese initialed a memo to Pendleton James with Helene Von Damme and Michael Farrell recommending him to the National Science Board. He recommended his long friend, and as being the Bryan was the president's secretary of health and welfare in Sacramento, he would be an outstanding candidate. The Stein report says that there was a memo on the name of Mr. Bryan to cooperate, and Helene Von Damme sent her own copy to Mr. Farrell saying, let's, if we can. This is written on Mr. Bryan's nomination, Dr. Bryan, the fellow who has used the SLA Dr. Foster ambush as an excuse to get funding immediately for the lobotomies and the psychosurgery and the experimentations on the poor, the blacks, the minority, the prisoners, and the mentally sick in California. People with problems were to be electroded, electroshocked, drugged out of their heads. Now, Dr. Bryan's name went on a long list for the National Science Board, and as I say, there's another memo, handwritten, that went to Mr. Farrell from the office approving this that says, must place. Helene Von Damme says, let's if we can, and the other memo said, let's place. Now, the Stein report doesn't say who said you must place. We're talking about the White House and science. And as I say, Bryan goes back to what required a congressional investigation of the entire United States, and he worked with people from east to west, north and south, into medical experimentations. The report doesn't indicate who said it we must place. That handwriting was not identified. Now, Helene Von Damme, who said, let's if we can, was brought to the United States by William Clark of Military Intelligence, formerly National Security Advisor, then the head of the Interior Department, now waiting to be a justice on the Supreme Court. She was brought by the American Medical Association into Detroit and Chicago. She worked with Otto von Bolschwing, Adolf Eichmann's superior, who found that the best cure for disease is an oven. Cook it at 350 degrees and pile the bones. The final solution team came from Europe. The people behind genetics, genocide, eugenics, and brought this team over here, though from Germany, worked closely with our OSS and the CIA. Helene Von Damme goes with von Bolschwing up to California to become the secretary with Ronald Reagan, making appointments for 8 years, and then the appointment secretary in the White House for the transition team, the ambassador in Austria now, saying, let's if we can, and the memo saying must place. Now, this memo came from the Office of Presidential Personnel. There were 8 jobs to be filled. 8 positions were left in May of 82, and Dr. Bryan's name was one of the 8. This is the Jacob Stein report on Edwin Meese, page 239. The board had 8 positions to be filled. Dr. Bryan's was one of eight, as I stated before. Every nomination had three names supporting it. Dr. Bryan's was accompanied by one, Edwin Meese, two, Michael Deaver, three, not listed. Dig that one. Every nomination had three, but the Stein Report doesn't mention the three. You know, reading this report, it reminds me of the 9 years I spent cross-filing the Warren Commission hearings. I mean, you can just spot all the loopholes, all the phrases that get out of going into the important questions. I always said after 9 years of training with the Warren Commission hearings, I could read any government document and lay it out and find every loophole and clause and can't recall that they can invent for the books. So they needed three, but the Jacob Stein leaves one out. Was it Fritz Kramer? Was it Henry Kissinger? Who signed the third one? We don't know. Now, the Stein Report goes on. George Keyworth, at the time, the president's science advisor, was listed as a supporter of five of the eight recommended nominees, but he did not recommend Dr. Earl Bryan. Now, the reason I'm going into Bryan again goes back to that place in California, to the Health Education Welfare, to Caspar Weinberger. Because of Weinberger and Meese and Reagan working with the John Birch Society, the World Anti-Communist League, the tentacles of fascism that were investigated by the subcommittee in California and in Washington, the Birch, these guys now have moved up, and the only choice position left over all of us is the legal department of the Justice Department, which is Edwin Meese, nominated for Attorney General, in case you wonder why I think this is so important. George Keyworth, to repeat again, science advisor, supporter of five of the eight people nominated, did not recommend Dr. Earl Bryan, but it doesn't say why he didn't recommend it. Of course, we don't see that. Now, Dr. Bryan had a strong interest in the National Science Board, according to the Stein Report, and Dr. Keyworth opposed him. Dr. Bryan's name went back and forth, according to the report, and finally, Dr. Keyworth agreed to accept Dr. Bryan, on the board, but he no longer is associated with these people. They say formerly with them. He was dumped out, but the choice of Dr. Bryan on the science board, where you have to have the security clearance, again, it must be top secret, like all the other dirty work they're doing. The science board must be a front for a lot more other things. So the staff members remembered, according to the report, Dr. Bryan's name with Mrs. Van Damme, and being told that because of his support and background, the support behind Bryan and his background with Ronald Reagan, he would have to be on the final list. This is page 239 of the report. Dr. Keyworth couldn't decide. Meese and Helene Van Damme would decide for him. This is the California Gestapo, the mind control group, out of our prisons and hospital. The report says there was a long list which bore a handwritten notation next to Bryan's name. It said, not fit for National Science Board. Dr. Keyworth agreed with that, and that is written after his name. Dr. Bryan's nomination was a do, according to the reports. I'm reading exactly. This was so because any former cabinet member in the California Reagan administration whose name Meese and Deaver wanted to see at the table was going to get at the table. That is pretty close. Now, remember the broadcast I've done on the past, the book California, the First Parafascist State. Don't forget the Alameda Mafia, LAPD, and Ed Davis and Daryl Gates and their links to Western Gold, the Pentagon, the Soldiers of Fortune, the Christian Defense League, and to the Kennedy assassination. That ball of wax I've been trying to put together and getting it tighter together in the last 6 and 7 weeks. Their associations going back to the political assassinations of John Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, and Martin Luther King. We can't go into each of those every time. The gang that sticks together, climbs together up this sticky ladder until the President of the United States took his oath of office for the Constitution. Protect the Constitution, but not the constitutional rights. So according to the Jacob Stein Report, Dr. Earl Bryan's nomination was approved by the President of the United States. The scientists said no. They said not fit for the National Science Board. After the FBI clearance, and here's where it comes on page 240 of the Stein Report, after the FBI clearance, investigation was conducted, questions were raised by the White House counsel's office that caused Dr. Bryan to withdraw his name, and he was never fully nominated. Now, the doctors didn't want him. the investigation into him. Now, who were the White House counsels? Fred Watergate Fielding? He'd let anything come through the door. Believe me, if he lets Raymond Donovan fly through, William Webster, they would let anyone come through. So what in the world caused them to force Dr. Earl Bryan, a relative unknown that Mrs. Edwin Meese is plunking $16,000 she doesn't have, into his operation within 3 days of the inauguration of the President of the United States? The pressure of Reagan, of Meese, of Deaver, Von Dahm, who stepped in and said, wait a minute, we have to withdraw his name after the investigation was begun, after the FBI clearance was investigation was done. Now, the FBI did a clearance on Raymond Donovan for Secretary of the Labor and let the whole mafia and the Genoveses, the Maselli's, you name it, from A to Z, but into the Schiavone construction and into the congressional hearings. What in the world was there, and what is the relationship of Mrs. Meese? So within hours of the inauguration, she's pulling a $15,000 she doesn't have to give to Mr. Bryan. He can't pass this investigation, even with the president and Deaver and Meese and Von Dahm. Now, the Stein report goes on, after Dr. Bryan withdrew his name from the nomination, then Meese covered up, and according to this, he pulled back that I really didn't want him anyway. It says that Mitchell Stanley, Meese's staff assistant, identified Meese's handwriting on the memo, but the Meese recommendation was a standard recommendation rather than a must hire, even though it said must place. Pendleton James couldn't recall whether Earl Bryan or his own his own team proposed the appointment for the National Science Board. Mr. Pendleton James worked at the time of Watergate with the Howard Hughes Organization and tentacles going back to the California, he's from California, the San Diego, California group that pushed Meese into the position of Attorney General and into the companion of Ronald Reagan in Sacramento for 8 years. Pendleton James lost his recall, like the Watergate hearings, like the Warren Commission hearings. He doesn't know whether he or Earl Bryan suggested the appointment for being on the science board, as if Bryan would recommend himself there. Helene Von Dahm was called, and she said she and others knew the Dr. Bryan from his service in California, but she can't recall if Mr. Meese wanted him for a position with the science board. She lost her memory. Pendleton James lost his memory. Von Dahm knew that Bryan was very close to Edwin Thomas, so what? And Von Dahm recalled that Dr. Bryan, being around Thomas in Mr. Meese's office, they were lobbying for some position or other, but Helene Von Dahm can't recall if Meese recommended Bryan for the job, but there may be a memo, she said, in the files about this relationship. Now, Mr. Thomas stated that he might have drafted the memorandum for Meese to sign, but he didn't put Mr. Meese's initials on it for Dr. Bryan's appointment. And Edwin Meese said he knew Bryan from the administration of Ronald Reagan. He had seen him perhaps a dozen times since 1974, and he visited him one time at the Zonix Corporation in 1978-79. Well, the Zonix Corporation, we don't have time to get into that now, becomes the Hadron Incorporation, and that then goes into a very controversial person named Bernard Katz, who formed Helionetics and is part of Zonix and separated himself from the Zonix Corporation because of legal problems, and Helionetics wants to zoom their contracts to build the Star Wars and the space stations with Edward Teller on the board, also on the board of Western Goals with the LAPD, and with Edward Teller's links to John Singh Laub, the World Anti-Communist League. These names will keep reappearing and appearing. William Simon, just last week, left the board of Helionetics because of legal problems they're having, but he's on the board of Kissinger Associates, and he's a Knight of Malta and a very important traveling salesman for this World Commerce Corporation that grew into the multinational situation that we have that runs this country today. So Mr. Bryan was visited by Mr. Meese at the Zonix Corporation, and I just ran through this quickly, some of these connections of Zonix to Star Wars and Bernard Katz. I'll go slowly on that. I've done some of it before, and I'll do it again. Meese stated early in 1981 that Edwin Thomas brought Dr. Bryan into his office. Now, that has nothing to do walking into an office has nothing to do with the memos going back and forth, you must hire. And the crux of all of this, it doesn't matter how they remember each other walking in and out. Dr. Brian wanted that school that was stopped, the branch of UCLA. I know it continues, and it goes on without our seeing it, and it has tentacles going then down to Jonestown with the mass experimentations and death there. The Stein Report tries to cover up the inconsistencies of who these people are and what they're saying without going into Dr. Brian at all. And the question was, what was Meese's relationship, Mrs. Meese, of plunking that money? It may not be much, $16,000 in terms of Washington, but it's pretty much when you are moving into a city and 3 days after the inauguration, you probably have to just pay for the clothes from the inauguration. Now, the can't recalls summarize the Stein Report in this matter. Meese can't recall seeing Brian after February 82. Meese talked with Thomas about Dr. Brian occasionally. He never heard about the companies other than biotech. Here was a group that had investments in slot machines in Las Vegas. Meese doesn't know about them. He never heard of QuestCheck and those convoluted medical corporations that they are putting money into. He says he doesn't know what they are. Well, Mrs. Meese was in such a hurry to borrow $15,000 to put in biotech, he should know what it is. It was the parent company of QuestCheck, QUESTECH, that I talked about before. QuestCheck Capital held notes for Las Vegas firms that operate 800 slot machines. There was an order during the Reagan administration to stop money to small business companies until loans until the administration got rolling. But Dr. Earl Brian got $5 million from a federally funded company. Dr. Earl Brian, I repeat, got $5 million federal money financing for his company as soon as Reagan and Meese were in. He's not qualified to sit on a lousy science board because of stuff they've delved about him, but he's qualified to get $5 million financing from the federal government for his medical companies, those convoluted medical companies around the country that go into genetics and cancer and God knows what. The important thing is that if he isn't qualified for one, and there were orders not to give him money or anybody for small business, how did he get it? He got a license from the Small Business Investment Company. The gambling company was made in the went to the gambling company. It was a form of a loan to a Las Vegas company owned by a second firm, which I had on the air last March. It was never identified. That parent firm loaned money to a third firm, which was never identified, and they used it to buy two other companies that were never named. So the Meeses don't have to put $16,000 into Thomas's hand and borrow it. And keep repeating, hours after the inauguration, what is going on, and why would Brian get $5 million, Dr. Brian, when he can't, as I say, get on the board of something that the president is pushing, that Von Dahm is pushing, that Meese is pushing? Tell me what qualifications you have from a small business loan to get a $5 million loan from the federal government when you can't even get on that board. Well, the time is out now. I don't have too much time to go into the SLA and the role of Dr. Brian and Edwin Meese and Casper Weinberger at the UCLA Center that was exposed by the Senate Committee on the Judiciary, November 1974, the United States Senate. I'm going to begin maybe next week by reading to you some of the criticism of the UCLA School for the Study of Violent Behavior, because Meese and Brian and Weinberger and Reagan were that national package of health control, mind control, experimentations, and now we're going into the era of genetic experimentation, cancer, and they tie directly to the genocide, the Auschwitz gang, the final solution. Mr. Eichmann had a final solution. They hung him in Israel at a trial. His boss, who gave him the idea of it, moved up to Palo Alto, formed a corporation, the TCI, and had Helene Von Dahm even invest money into it when she first moved there. And Christian Von Dahm, her husband, her second or third husband, down in La Paz, Bolivia. Why doesn't she use the name of Mrs. Byron Leeds? That's her husband. Christian Von Dahm, the mysterious one of the vice presidents of Bank of America in La Paz, Bolivia. Stop the Meese hearings till we pull out Christian Von Dahm. We have a terrible team now with Mr. Weinberger from Health, Education, Welfare, Secretary of Defense, gunning for Space Station and Star Wars, Ronald Reagan, with his image that he was selected by God to carry us to what America was meant to be, the Holy War, and Edwin Meese as the Attorney General would be horrendous. Their background goes right to Mr. Donovan, World Commerce Corporation, to John Birch Society, and the tentacles of fascism that were identified in 1961, but unfortunately, many of us didn't take that seriously enough or didn't see the material at the time. The time is running out now, so I have to handle this time. I'll be back with you next week. This is Mae Brussel coming from Carmel, California, and Pacific Grove. I live in Carmel. I'm so used to saying that, but the station emanates in Pacific Grove, California.